This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yes, sir. We're 2 hours from the home run derby call here tonight on your home of the champs, 105.3 The Fan. 2 more hours of G-Bag Nation. We have the Expressway coming up at 5:20, LA Live 5:40. It's time now for an edition of the finest. Here's Eric.
People are calling this the most Jerry Jones move ever. He is reportedly. Yeah, see where this ranks. He spent $1.6 million to fight the paternity lawsuit that he was going through, which I guess he ended up winning.
Yeah.
But he is now suing his daughter to get that money back, the legal fees that were almost $2 million worth. He is now suing her to get back the money that he had to spend to defend himself.
Yeah, it's funny that the lawsuit that he won last week was actually not the hers or her mom's. It was his. He was suing just to sort of validate the prior arrangement officially. Like, come back 25 years later, we want a judge to put a rubber stamp on that. This is a valid deal. So that was Jerry's lawsuit. Now he's adding on top of this, going after the legal fees. I don't think I've ever seen a more savage move.
I know, dude. I know. Like, this is...
It's obviously personal. It angered him. They had a deal going back on it. But also, I think this has to do with, you know, how disappointed his family was that this came back up, you know, all of these years later. It probably caused him a tremendous amount of stress, even though publicly he's handled it smoothly and says he doesn't mind it. It's clear. I don't think there's anything more petty, you know, than he's ever done. And I'm wondering, why would you want to continue to have this in the headlines? Like,
this is vengeance.
We wouldn't be talking about it.
Yeah.
Like, she had her portion of the lawsuit thrown out like 6 months ago, and they haven't attempted another legal maneuvering. Now they're more like defending. And I don't know how to handle this. You know, I thought it was pretty clear that mom had an agreement, but not kid. And that gets tricky, you know, for the judge. I don't know exactly how I would rule on that as a judge. I guess you'd look at precedent and what the actual law says. But just from my common sense perspective, you know, it doesn't make sense that you could give a big old bag to mom 30 years ago and that contract still impacts you as you hit adulthood. But hey, laws are laws. And it appears that, you know, Jerry is on the right side of it. But I am surprised you would not want to just let this case go away out of the sheer embarrassment of it. But maybe shame is something long forgotten there and for Jerry.
Yeah, the vengeance is fueling him right now. I could see that, the internal temperature family-wise. And it's like, okay, now I got to really go out here and make my point that I was right the entire time. But it is, that feels like a pretty stone cold killer type move that he's busting out right
now. You know, I'd always heard that Jerry is going to do his thing, right? He's out there partying and honky tonking. And Mrs. Jones, Jean, just asked that she didn't have to hear about it in the hair salon.
Don't embarrass me.
Yeah, don't embarrass me.
Yeah.
And this was something, maybe that's why that yacht's out there.
Yeah. I think that, that boat. That boat,
it's a gorgeous boat,
$250 million boat.
You're underselling that thing. That's a yacht, boys.
Yeah, well, that's what he called it, the boat.
The boat.
Yeah.
Maybe that wasn't his idea.
The I'm sorry boat.
You know, we buy paintings, we buy boats.
Yeah.
We build wings to the house, you know, stuff like
that. Yeah, they had a hell of a draft on that yacht, though.
You know, I swing by Diamonds Direct.
Yeah.
When I need to get out of the doghouse, not for stuff like that, but, you know, Jerry swings by the yacht dealership.
Yeah.
I swing by the 7-Eleven, get some Flamin' Hot Cheetos for my girl.
Tax bracket's a little different.
She gets all fired up. Hey, what do you guys think the over-under is for Ezekiel Elliott regular season rushing yards this year? I've got the number. Okay, 650, Dawson. Is anybody willing to go higher than 650 over-under total rushing yards for Ezekiel Elliott?
I'm going to go under.
Under 650?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, are we still trying to like set a number out there, or are we just now going over under?
The answer is 600 and a half yards.
Okay.
So there it is. You were right, Broadus. It is under 650, but you were in the ballpark there. Plenty. Touchdowns for Ezekiel Elliott?
Six.
Six.
Under.
Under.
4.5.
5.5 is the line.
Ooh, the over on touchdowns right is hitting there.
You're hitting the over on that
one? Yeah, he'll get his touchdowns.
He'll get six touchdowns, and they'll all total like 3 yards.
Yeah.
It'll be from the half yard line.
Probably 200 carries for 600 yards and 3 touchdowns.
And then he's got over under 30.5 receptions and 200.5 receiving yards. So that is the over under on the Zeke season that is coming up here.
I tell you what, if they keep him as a big piece of this offense, it's a major problem, you know, for the other players on that team. There's got to be somebody with a little bit more burst and wiggle. If there's not, then I just don't. That's running back negligence. You know,
well, Rico's got some juice.
Overcorrection.
It's just like, man, can he stay healthy? It'd be awesome if he did. You know, I'd like to see what Rico could do.
It's kind of what they did when they tried the Joseph Randle deal, I guess, in 2015, where, you know, they had Joseph Randle. Yeah. They had like Darren McFadden, who was signed. But, you know, when they have committed to running back, they way overdone it. When they're like, hey, we got to scale back, we're doing way too much here, then they way underdo it. I just don't feel like they have nearly as good of a finger on the pulse of what it takes to be a good runner, how to value runner, as they do some of the other spots.
Well, you had Jerry's paternity story, now you have the Justin Jefferson has been ruled the father of his ex-girlfriend's baby. So he is now officially, they did the,
he's a dad.
Like the Mari Povich deal. You are the father. Okay. That's me. He just got the big time contract.
Sure
I wonder
did.
How much of that is about to start coming out of those paychecks.
Can't you tell like as soon as the baby comes out, like, oh yeah, that's mine.
I could.
Yeah. That was obvious.
I was like, okay,
I think
that's
in
actually
general,
mine.
Yeah. In general, I think you can. But you know, if you're kind of in denial, you'll look at that thing and go, no. Definitely not.
No, that
doesn't look like
me
at all. You're insane. You're insane. This is a poking the bear situation that I think is going. This guy's future self is going to hate his past self.
I can't wait for the rest on that, but I have a question for you.
Yeah.
If you had a buddy and he's got like 3 kids and 2 of them are slow and dumpy and 1's like tall and fast, super athletic, would you be like, hey, dude, you know, how would you handle that?
Where you start to question, you start wondering about the milkman brought us.
Is that what you start? Not like you.
Yeah.
Was it now his dad super athletic guy, or his dad, does he lean to the unathletic? Like, which one makes more sense that it's his kids? But either way, something could be going on here.
Dad's slow and dumpy.
Dad's slow and dumpy.
Yeah.
Then maybe that you could. Yeah. It's fair to have some questions. I would
absolutely
say.
Absolutely, you have questions.
Because I wonder how. I mean, I'm sure there's been some examples where there's just super far ends of the spectrum on children where they're both yours and one is a freaking dynamite athlete and the other one can barely tie your shoes or whatever.
You do see that. Yeah.
So, I mean, you take solace in that, but it's fair to start wondering a little bit.
I think it would come down to how good of a friend is this?
You know?
Yeah. Just a pretty good friend. I'm going to keep my mouth shut, but basically a brother, I'd be like, hey, dude, man, let's go have some cold beers talk about it.
Yeah, have you given any thought to this at all?
Look at Prince Harry. And, you know, and his,
is that the bald one or the Carson Wentz looking one?
No, that's the other one, the redhead one.
Okay.
Harry looks like she had a member of a, like her buddy was a guy who was in charge for security detail.
Oh,
Princess Diane's.
Looks security. Like DeBruni's kid or something.
Yeah, like he was like a military studly guy.
Ooh.
Yeah. And like you look at King Charles, I don't know. That's William.
Yeah.
But Harry's kind of like the athlete, the like kind of the stronger guy, Yeah.
There's some questions.
He looks a little bit like.
There's some who's your daddy questions.
Yeah.
Put him on Maury. 901 says my whole family, dark hair, dark eyes. I'm blonde, blue eyes, and I went SEC D1.
Okay.
So, I mean, there might be some watchdog in there on his family tree. But here is some
it's
sound.
More common, I think, and you know, the My 23andMe is exposing it. You know,
yes, yeah. Very much so.
I've seen some horror stories.
Do not go down that path. I don't think it's worth it. Unless you want it.
Awkward. I really don't think it's worth it, man.
Especially if your mom asks you why.
Yeah.
She asks you, why are you going to do that, baby? Yeah.
If she's not 100% in support of you being like, no problem, just, you know, go ahead. Yeah, then that's.
So what you find out from your little test and everything. Yeah. I've been curious.
I've been wondering too.
You're a break, baby.
Well, here is new Dolphins tight end Jonnu Smith. He's poking the bear that is Bills Mafia, and I think he's going to regret this in a huge way.
Mad that that's why they them fans be hating so much, because they want to be down here. You ever went to Buffalo?
Exactly.
Oh my gosh, man.
Oh yeah. Talk about that. Fly into Buffalo for the game, I promise.
Man, listen, Buffalo is, I don't know how them dudes do it. I don't know how they did it, man. Going from anywhere in the world, anywhere in the country, man, into Buffalo. It got to be the worst place you could be in the world. And the wings is not, the Buffalo wings ain't even good. So that's like, they ain't even good.
Oh, boy.
It's getting flipped.
Oh, boy.
The wings ain't even good. Yeah, I'm at Buffalo. I'm at them. Yeah, I ain't.
Yeah, we so
I'm
are
throwing
we.
Shot, all type of shots at Buffalo.
Yeah, so
it's good because we're fed up with Buffalo too, brother.
Yeah,
so come December, be ready to do something about it.
Yeah, most definitely. We're gonna handle up.
Yeah,
well, come on, dude.
I'm all for a little interdivision.
Be smarter
talk.
Than that, Jonnu.
And he's, you know, he's a Patriot as well. And then he came to Miami, so he's definitely spent his time in Buffalo. But he went for where it hurts, and he called out the Buffalo Wings.
Oh
man,
saying their fans wish that they were Miami fans instead of Buffalo fans because the city
don't.
That they live in sucks so bad. Like. That is not the fan base you want to get any more riled up than they already are. Oof. We know what they lob Bildo, Buffalo Bildos.
Yeah,
remember
I got the picture.
They lob those type of grenades out there. This is going to be you're going to think you're at Velvet Box, Jonnu Smith, by the time you get done with this game. This is going to get ridiculous on you.
Like
and if I'm a Dolphins player, I'm calling him up going, dude, what in the hell are you doing?
Hey, leave the damn wings out of this, okay?
Calling out the wings. I've never heard somebody call out the wings like that.
No.
And I can't speak on them, but I just assumed they were top tier.
I tried to eat at the Anchor Bar. We couldn't get in when we went and played Buffalo. It was my last road trip. We couldn't get in. It was so packed. We had to wait like 3 hours.
Can't be bad if it's packed.
Yeah.
This is like somebody calling out like Texas barbecue or something like that.
Yeah.
You know? Like that's offensive.
He's going out of his way to purposefully hit you where it hurts.
And we have so much more than that here. Like for Buffalo, what else do you even have? Like it's just the wings.
The wings.
They're all in with their wings. If somebody's gonna ask on them like that, then that's gonna be offensive in a huge way.
And pizza.
Here is the Hugh Jackson WAP.
Mm-hmm.
That wings and pizza, baby. Here's Taylor Lewan, former NFL left tackle of the Titans. He does his Bussin' with the Boys podcast now with Will Compton, former NFL linebacker. But they were on the Spittin' Chicklets podcast with the hockey fellas.
That's a hell of a combo right
so
there.
They
Spittin' Chicklets is great.
NFL and NHL matchup podcast, and they asked him about like airplanes and road trips, and especially when you're going overseas and playing in London and stuff, like what does that look like? Here's Taylor Lewan. I was not expecting this response from Lewan.
If you leave the day before the game, so Saturday, you sleep, you play, and then you head back immediately. It doesn't matter how late the game is. So London was not much different, but we got there Thursday. And when you go to London, you have to like, they want you to sleep the whole time. So they give you like an Ambien or whatever, you guys get high, and then just go to sleep. And then on the way back, they're like, you guys need to stay up because it's night in London or whatever. Like the time change, I'm not great with time, but going back, you're going to want to be up. So anyway, we go back and it's like we lost on like we went for two at the end of the game and didn't get it. But the whole like front of the plane, all first class, I gave it to the players. And there's guys are smoking, music. It's just nuts. Like a cloud all around, like first class.
Oh, wow.
It was crazy. Like we had one guy, he was smoking a blunt on the plane. And this like...
Imagine that on an NHL plane.
Yeah. Oh. This like male stewardess or male flight attendant comes up. He's like, excuse me, sir. Like you can't do that. And he's like, oh yeah, for real. Okay. He walks away the minute he leaves, like, man, f- him, and lights it back up. And the flight attendant kind of just sat back in his seat for the next 5.5 hours and just let guys go nuts.
Oh my God.
And he's like, I'm not trying to stop this. Like, I gave my one charity.
Yeah.
Like, please stop that doing that.
Yeah, you can't tell me I didn't try.
Did my job.
My gosh, dude. I did not know it got that buck wild, brought us on these road trips. Where I knew there were booze and I knew there were gambling.
A lot of gambling. I've never been on one that
had hotboxing airplanes.
I never that situation. No, I don't think so.
I mean, is that a deal where the media is on there too? And friends and family are on there?
Yeah, actually on the Cowboy Charters, last one I went on was the Buffalo trip. So that was, you got some front office guys, some staff, senior staff and stuff in the front with the coaches. And then in the middle is where the media is, and the players are behind us. So you can hear everything that's going on behind you. And then you got guys that walk from the back of the plane to the front to get more ice for their cocktails and stuff like that. But yeah, it's, but I never a marijuana situation, but a lot of alcohol for sure.
A lot of alcohol.
Yeah. I'm surprised the coaches, you know, you would think maybe Vrabel would step up and be like, hey, dude. Come on. All the beer and tobacco that you want
to
do.
They used to give us beer when we were in Green Bay. When you got on the plane, they'd hand you 3 cans of beer.
3 cans? Yeah.
Which is more dangerous, by the way, than the marijuana.
For sure.
I just want to say that.
But they would hand everybody three cans of beer as you get on the plane.
I'm sure some people, I mean, if you're on an airplane and you're smoking, like, you're hotboxing that thing. So now
I never smelt it that way, no.
I just think that's unnecessary because of the vape pens that you have. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's true.
It is so less offensive to any people that don't appreciate that smell.
Oh, but it's nothing like that flower, Dawson.
Nothing
like that crisp.
I hear you.
That flower.
Yeah, we don't want that artificial turf. We want that real grass.
Well, and taking it over borders. I mean, we've seen certain countries don't play with that.
Mm.
That's true.
All righty, it is the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. The Expressway coming up next. LA Live with Lucius Alexander is coming up at 5:40. We'll get you caught up to speed as we're less than 2 hours now from the start of the Home Run Derby, which you will hear tonight on The Fan. You know, the MLB draft continues, and we'll get you up to speed on what the Rangers are doing there and the rest of the day's news here in sports coming up next. It's the G-Bag Nation here on The Fan. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. It is the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Hope you're having a fantastic day. It's time to hit the expressway. We'll take you commercial-free to the top. LA Live with Lucius coming up in about 14 minutes. The G-Bag Nation is brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today at carsforkids.org. And the expressway is brought to you by the on-time experts. We give you everything that's been developing in the world of sports every afternoon at this time. We are now counting down to the Home Run Derby, just over an hour and a half away. Coming up at 7 o'clock, you'll be able to hear all the play-by-play of that right here on your home of the champs, 105.3 The Fan. The MLB draft is continuing. They are through 10 rounds. You might know in the first, the Rangers took the catcher from Stanford, Malcolm Moore. 288 over two-plus seasons there with the Cardinal. Of course, they were just the Pac-12 champions. Had 16 home runs this last year. So, I think that's a good pick. I'm feeling great about Jonah Heim. I mean, there's not many catchers that can do what he can do behind the plate and on offense. But, you know, that's not really not what the draft is about. But they said he was the best player available and the best fit for what we need, Wolchuk.
Yeah, I think the Rangers were eyeing a catcher. I mean, if you look at who they've had in their farm, Sam Huff just has had opportunities and just he's a great dude. And I've been really hoping Sam, who crushes it in Triple A, would be able to step up. But I think now they're like, okay, we need to find somebody else to develop down the pipeline. You know, you
and
need
somebody. Any run out of options and stuff that, you know, they bring
they
up.
They are, absolutely. They're going to have to make a decision on Sam Huff. I mean, he's 26 years old now, right? So you're going to have to develop somebody else that hopefully could come along and, you know, maybe platoon with Jonah. I mean, that's a grueling, taxing position. He can't, obviously, you're not having him play every single game. So especially a day night situation, you know, maybe it's a getaway day, you want somebody else to be able to catch. So not a bad option to draft someone, and it could take 3 or 4 years before we even see him available at the big leagues.
Your Bang Bangs, your Paul Skeens, these are way outliers in this scenario. As I think Bassick has explained before, it's like high A in college. You know, and you know, by the time that you get to the big leagues, you could be 21, 22, 23 years old, but still have a number of years remaining. That struggle that Sam Huff is going through right now, I think that's like the undocumented story of baseball, is that how many more players there are out there just angling to get a shot, dominating the minor league level, and then whenever they get a call up, it just doesn't come together for him. So I bet when he saw that news, he was like, oh boy, you know, we're the end is near. Team USA beat Australia 98-92, built a big first half lead. They were in Abu Dhabi in front of a record crowd of 12,200 fans there at Etihad Arena. Second straight win over a medal contender for the U.S., but it was two late threes from Halliburton and 4 of 4 free throws from Devin Booker that nailed it down. Anthony Davis led all scorers with 17 points and 14 boards. Anthony Edwards in the starting lineup had 14 points, but Steve Kerr talked about it afterwards. This team is soft in the middle. They're giving up way too many backdoor cuts to the rim. And easy hoops were there to be had for a very talented and you know, good Australia team, but not one that should have, you know, cut it to within 4 points twice in the final minute. So I feel good about this Team USA, but once again, it's just not going to be easy. I think the days of easy Olympic tournaments for Team USA are definitely in the past. If you look at some of the talent that Canada has collected, Australia, France, there's just some damn good teams out there at this point.
Spain always seemed like they were a tough out, I think, with the Gasols right back in the day. So I still expect America to win the gold, but it is going to be a task.
Yeah, I think the good news now is this program has built its own culture. You know, going into the 2008 Olympics, it was redeem team time, and they have managed to hold that now for coming up on two decades. Like, we're going to come together in the offseason. We're going to be very serious about, you know, trying to maximize our skills for the rules that are different for the international game and, you know, make sure we have a pipeline of guys that kind of know our system and, you know, take it with an appropriate amount of respect for the international players, because the game is different enough and those players are typically playing that style year round. So instinctually there's something to get around. And then on top of that, you're also playing against guys that likely have been playing together as a group since they were 13 years old,
definitely,
which is another, you know, massive hurdle. So it's only because, you know, of what they did, you know, 15 years ago that I think put them in a position to still fortunately dominate this. I don't know, though. You look around the NBA now, what, the top three players are international. You know, they're doing a hell of a job producing around the world players that can come here and win MVP. I don't know. They don't have the population. They don't have the depth to build out full rosters. But, you know, maybe just a matter of time. You see in other sports, very small countries can get great. Cuba, you know, definitely you have your hands full as the United States with 400 million people every time you go take on that little island nation. That's the culture. That's the coaching. And, you know, fortunately, USA finally decided to take it as seriously as the rest of the world is. SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey says they're focused on the 16 teams in the conference and they are not looking to recruit anybody else. What do you think of that? What's really going on with the SEC? How much longer until they continue to add to that, Brian?
Florida State and Clemson seem like a pretty good add to me if they're looking to bail out of the ACC. You know, I'll sacrifice, I'd sacrifice?
Vandy
and maybe
Kentucky. I think is who you threw out.
Yeah, I would say, but I need Kentucky maybe for basketball.
Yeah.
Missouri, I would, all the my friends in Missouri are not happy with me at all right now.
Maybe just kick A&M and Mizzou back to the Big 12.
I kind of feel like that Clemson and Florida State are going to be a players in this thing. That their overall athletic programs for all their sports, I think, are quality, and I think that's what, you know, the The SEC looks at it as, hey, it's just not football. You know, we can make money in baseball. You know, we can make money in, you know, women's programs too. You know, so I kind of feel like that, you know, Commissioner Sankey, he's looking at it as, you know, if you're going, that's why you add Texas and Oklahoma, because they're overall programs. It's just not the football programs. Yeah. But it's all their programs, men and women's, that make him a really good SEC fit.
If you're a fan of Clemson and Florida State, do you want to go SEC or do you want Absolutely. A conference you can win?
Absolutely.
I mean, you win that conference, you're in.
Yeah, but I think what you want to do is, if you're Clemson and Florida State, you want to get paid early, and then when they turn into the super conference, you're already in. Mm. You're already playing these people, and you've already built your rivals. And, yeah, the Florida State, they play every year, yeah. You know? So why not make it an SEC game?
Yeah.
You know, so... You know, Clemson, Clemson, you know, the known as Death Valley, you know, there. I mean, why not come to the Death Valley in Baton Rouge and play? I think there's too many good matchups potentially for those two programs, but go for it. You know, get in the big conference where you can make all the money.
What a spot to be that you can just, like, take the top two teams from each conference. We'll take Texas and OU. We'll
yeah.
take Florida State and Clemson. When did that change? Money. What changed that? The momentum that the SEC's been able to build over the last 15 years?
Yeah, I think it's been the fact that you have programs that, when you look at these, you know, with the playoffs and the BCS and all that, these are the teams that have, the Alabamas, the Georgias, you know, they're the ones that have shown, even the BCS area of, you know, Florida and
yeah.
I mean, they've had some. These SEC teams have had some really great success, and I think all of a sudden, you know, the football programs started to develop. They started to get more players. I mean, heck, Kentucky's gotten better. The one program that hadn't gotten better is Vanderbilt, but Missouri's gotten better. So overall, you know, just the strength of the program, you have to commit the money. You have to commit to, you know, building up your facilities and stuff, and those SEC schools have been willing to do it. And you know, you get a big television contract out of that. They've done a good job of negotiating that in order so all their teams could benefit from it. You know, 30, you know, it used to be like, oh, we're going to get $30 million. No, you're getting $70 million now. You know?
Yeah, and so, I think there's something to be in a conference where you're going to get the automatic bid if you're just in kind of a crappier, if you're in the Big 12 and you're Clemson or something like that, and you can just run away with it. But now that 12 teams are making the playoff, you're like, I'd rather be in the SEC. You get all those advantages,
yeah.
And you don't have to run the table in order to get a chance in the playoff.
You could be a one-loss team, find your way into a playoff.
Probably even two, yeah. You know, especially in the SEC. So you'd almost rather have the tougher schedule so that you can be as battle-tested as possible. Then you get to the dance and see what happens.
We're going to get these. We're going to get it where it's going to be 40 teams. We're going to get a super conference.
Yeah.
And it's trending that way. And it's going to, you know, it's going to be the Big Ten and the SEC. They're going to figure out a way to kind of get everything together. And,
yeah.
You know, and then they're going to sell that that package to television. And now you're going to be very similar to what probably you might have in the NFL with their television packages.
Okay. Elsewhere here in the world of sport, former captain Brendan Morrow and executive Jim Leitz are going into the Dallas Stars Hall of Fame. Congrats are in order for them. There was an announcement earlier today. Where's Morrow fit amongst the all-time great Stars, Wolchuk?
Didn't get a cup, but certainly was a great captain for like a decade with the Dallas Stars. So certainly one of the best. He was always a fantastic captain. Had some good runs. They went to a Western Conference final. Unfortunately lost to the Detroit Red Wings. So, hey, I mean, he's well-deserving of being in the Stars Hall of Fame. So Brendan Morrow, absolutely a Stars legend. There's no doubt about that.
The Olympic torch has arrived in Paris. The final delivery was from the French soccer great Thierry Henry. It visited Paris landmarks and, you know, it will make its final stop at the opening ceremonies of the 2024 Paris Olympics coming up on July 26th, which is, what, next Friday? What are your favorite parts of the Olympics, guys? You looking forward to anything in particular? Yeah, I know Wolchuk's the super fan.
I love the Olympics get me going. I get excited for it. I think track and field, well, mainly just the track. Certainly the gymnastics. I feel like the United States always dominates. It's a blast to watch them. And then the swimming. I think the swimming, and certainly like with Michael Phelps doing what he did for back-to-back Olympics was great. But, I mean, the rivalries that are able to brew there. So those are kind of the three events that have always caught my eye. But that beach volleyball can be pretty entertaining.
Hmm.
Oh, yeah. Volleyball is fantastic. It's still basketball for me. It would be my one seed. And then now that I know, and I never knew this, but the videos are just funny. Like these speed walking clips.
I was going to say speed walking.
It's funny, dude.
I can't wait till we'll be working and speed walking will be on.
It's comedic value.
Remember watching that when it was from the Tokyo Olympics?
Like, is this real?
And we were like loving that. That was awesome.
Dude, Bobby Belt would crush in that.
Yeah, he has a chance. He should probably try and get in.
Because it's all in the hips.
It is.
You know, it's like Chubbs used to say.
The saunter.
Those guys are quite interesting to watch. It's a hell of an event. I just don't know how you can stay on top of all of them for having to have one foot on the ground at the same time. Like, how many judges do you have in there? Like,
yeah.
It seems like a weird, subjectively judged sport, and that's where I draw the line. I don't want anything that's going to require like intense judging. Show me who's the fastest. Show me who's the best in a team sport, a game, something like that. I sort of draw the line, but you know, it's just like the skateboarding stuff. Are they doing that in the Olympics these days? I think they are, aren't they?
I think they've added like some BMX components to it. Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
I'm in on that, dude. I mean, the X Games is a blast.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. It's just it's to me, it's basically like figure skating, right? And you're like, yeah. I don't know what I'm watching. I'm just, it's kind of like a home run derby. Like how many different 720s can you do and come down?
Yeah.
Right.
I'll tell you, after
a couple, I'm like, I don't know.
Synchronized swimming is pretty intense. Have you ever watched that?
The diving?
Have you ever watched synchronized swimming?
Yeah.
Those people, I mean,
pretty incredible.
It is incredible.
You don't have anything better to do?
No,
synchronized swimming.
Synchronized swimming is good. I'll tell you another one that it'll kind of get your attention is when they do the gymnastics with the ribbons.
Okay, that does not get my attention.
Yeah, that gets your attention.
That's a tune out.
That is it. Then they twirl the ribbons around,
jumping and all that
sauntering around. Yes. So that keep an eye on that.
That's week two, like after the real gymnasts do their thing.
Columbia Football Federation President Ramon Heceron and his son Ramon.
Is he boxing a little bit last night?
Facing three felony counts of battery on a specified official or employee. They were arrested by the Miami-Dade police at the stadium following the game.
Yeah. Tubbs and Crockett got him for Miami Vice.
Yeah.
The
father, 71 years old, the son, 43, accused of fighting multiple security guards at one of the stadium's tunnels used for the media around 12:20 in the morning as they tried to gain access to the field.
Yeah, see, now those are two dudes I'm not messing with. Everybody else I'm going after. But those two dudes, no. I'm not fighting a dad and his son. I think that would be a disaster.
71-year-old in a fist fight, dude, getting after it.
Yeah. They must have dominated some of these security guards, and then they were like, crap, we're going to need to back up. These guys are trying to escape right now.
Is it more of a black eye for the yellow windbreaker folk?
Yes, I think so. Yes, it's more L's about for security. This is battery, which
means you did a really good job of kicking their asses.
Yeah, our friends overseas were telling us about
A+. You just beat the hell out of those guys.
Rugby players make the best yellow windbreaker folk.
Congrats to Argentina for getting the dub in extra time, and congrats to Spain as well for winning the Euro earlier. Heartbreaking goal for England once again. It's time now to go into the Pimp Cup. Here's Lucius Alexander with LA Live.
Synchronized swimming is amazing. I love the opening ceremonies.
Yeah. Yes, opening ceremonies.
Yeah,
great.
Like when they march in.
I love to watch that. It's amazing.
Yeah, like the one guy with his flag by himself. He's doing.
Yeah, like four people representing that country.
It's like random countries.
Yeah, I like to look at that. See how many
Tonga.
I like to see how many countries have been colonized too. That's what I started realizing. I was like, oh wow, wow.
That British flag pops up a lot.
Well, I mean, what were y'all doing way down there? I think that the gymnastics with the ribbon is rhythmic gymnastics.
Rhythmic.
Yeah, you
don't
know.
Focus on the ribbon.
Don't focus on that's an illusion. Is that throw you off?
Yeah, no. Focus on other things.
My toes weren't actually pointed here. Yeah. All right, let's get into this. It's a Monday Friday vibe here in LA Live, right after the great Rick James.
All right, you squares.
Fire up this funk and let's have a toe. It'll make you dance to some of everything. Everybody get high.
Excuse me.
You all right?
Get me some oxygen. Better still, how about a big shot of Jack?
How about a big old shot of Jack? A warm one, too, please.
Yeah.
This is LA Live for Monday, July 15th, 2024. It's a Monday Friday here in LA Live. Word to PPT. LA Live is sponsored by Kissable Dental, and there's no bill guarantee. Book online at kissabledental.com. Your kissable journey starts today. Historic weekend. Where were you when you found out someone tried to take a headshot on Trump, folks? Where were you?
I was home, and my buddy texted me. He was like, oh my goodness, they just tried to assassinate Trump.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, okay, that sounds crazy. And then I brought up X, and I see him getting grazed in the ear. I was like, holy cow, it's a historic moment
that
right now.
That was wild.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was absolutely wild. I was sitting on the couch watching the show that Wolchuk recommended, the wide receivers or something like that. Oh, receivers? Yeah. Pretty good. Pretty good show.
Digging it.
Pretty good show. Then somebody told me, yeah, that had happened. I didn't believe him, so I went and seen it on the news. I was like, wow. You can hear the... It's crazy.
It was wild. Yeah, I just gotten home. 80th birthday for my wife's grandfather. First time I got to meet him, he flew in town from Arizona. Sweet, sweet man. So we get home. We're getting the baby situated. I got a text from a friend like, dude, Trump just got shot. I'm like, what are you talking about? Immediately turned the TV on. It's nuts. I don't think we'll ever forget where we were then.
Yeah, you never forget that.
I was on my air mattress in the living room. We had done like a nice little afternoon movie day with the girls.
Okay.
We got the kids to sleep, and I was like, all right, now it's time for daddy to just chill a little bit. I just hopped on X and saw it, and I thought I was going to be being ball sacked.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, me too.
Shouldn't
we
all for a second?
Talking about? Yeah, we all did. I thought somebody was playing with me. I was like, oh, man, don't play my Saturday afternoon like this, bro.
So random, man. Crazy.
They send you the tweet. Next thing you know, it's like something you don't want to be seeing.
I'll tell you, I found it was Blake.
Oh, Blake texted you?
Yeah, Blake has.
Sorry to hear that.
I'm like, it's funny because Blake will text me at like, hey, you watching Canada and the U.S. play? You know, he's like. You know,
he's always checking to make sure you're about that live.
Always checking to make sure I'm watching stuff. He goes, man, somebody just tried to kill the president. And I'm like, what? And then so you turn it on and next thing you know,
it's unbelievable.
Crazy, man.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
The assassination attempt was at a campaign rally in Butler, Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
The shooter was identified by the FBI as a 20-year-old, excuse me.
Yeah.
His name is Thomas Matthew Crooks. He was killed by a Secret Service sniper after he got a few shots off, though.
He did.
How did he get it up there on top of that roof? Dude. Did he bring a ladder?
Did he actually bring a ladder in?
Okay.
Maybe he was a soccer fan. Yeah, good at scaling things.
How'd you get that far? Like, usually Secret Service covers all roofs, all rooftops.
Yeah. And especially they were saying that that particular rooftop was the highest point, and they're surprised they didn't have somebody already up there.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I mean, come on, dude.
I have a buddy who was a Secret Service guy for 25 years, and he was saying... to mitigate the high ground issues would have been simple fix. Either I'm reading a text here.
Yeah.
Either place the bleachers in the line of sight, or a large 18-wheeler draped with an American flag would have been sufficient.
Throw off that view of sight.
Yeah. He goes, right now, I can't believe that the Secret Service didn't have a representative at the briefing last night along with the FBI and the Pennsylvania State Police. Even if they didn't feel they could answer the questions, they could say, we're looking into that or something like that. But he was saying that in this detail, Trump's detail, they've been asking for more resources for him. And the headquarters has been declining that. Mm-hmm. So it's, you know, he says this just, you know, they've got a large group of retired agents, too, that they're having to kind of replace and stuff. So he's saying manpower is definitely an issue.
Well, you still got to get that spot, regardless if it's five of y'all. You still got to just know it's there.
Yeah.
One audience member at the rally, it was a firefighter. He was killed in the shooting, trying to protect his family.
Yeah.
Two other men are in critical condition. Investigators of the FBI have unlocked the gunman's phone. So I'm pretty sure that information for a motive is going to be hitting the news pretty soon here. So pay attention for that.
Was there a thought in your mind about a capture situation to find out motive? Or is it just immediately?
You got to
eliminate.
You got to eliminate the threat, bro. Okay. You got to get that out of here. Okay. He shouldn't have got those shots off. Once you identified him, you don't wait for him to shoot.
Not
before he even does anything.
Yeah, not from 150 yards away.
That was odd. Where the snipers were looking at him.
They were waiting.
They were witnesses that saw him getting up there with a gun. There's just so many bizarre things about
Very
this.
Very bizarre.
Former classmates described the gunman as definitely conservative and harshly bullied. Do you think this was staged? I see a whole lot of this is staged on the internet. I'm talking about moments after it happened. Everybody's like, oh, this is staged. I can tell.
Yeah, I don't think it was staged. I think there was just too much chaos going on. If you were going to stage something, you would have it be a lot cleaner.
Yeah, and what would it benefit you, though, at that moment?
Yeah,
you,
I don't get that
either. Yeah, I don't understand what it would benefit you. It's too early for something like that. I mean, if you already want to go that far.
Okay, so if he went down, cut his own ear, and then popped up and was like, fight, that's like a galvanizing moment for the party going into the Republican National Convention.
But everybody that's going to vote for you is going to vote for you. Nobody's going to be like, you know what? Now you got me. Dude. Anybody that says that is capping, they were already going to do it in the first place.
Nah, I hear you, man. I agree with you.
It was that photo that came out. It's pretty hard.
Changed my mind.
The photo was definitely iconic. Let's go to Ari Spears real quick. He has a word for everybody. Ari Spears is a comedian. He's been up here before. He has a word for everybody that thought it was staged.
Listen, man, I am in no way, shape, or form a Trump fan. But some of y'all got to knock it off with this conspiracy theory. It was staged. It was staged. Really? So that blood was Tabasco sauce on his face? January 6th was staged. People died on January 6th. Was that part of the program? The Will Smith, Chris Rock thing was staged. Not according to Chris Rock. If it was real, the shooter wouldn't have missed. Reagan got shot and survived. Was that staged too? Shit gets real. Period. Stop thinking everything is a goddamn conspiracy.
He was laying in the bed when he said that. Chilling. Yes, Eric, you are right. The internet said that photo of Trump with the bleeding ear, fist in the air, which is kind of strange. And the flag behind him is an iconic photo. In fact, the most iconic photo of all time.
Wow.
Yeah, 2 days after it's...
Of all time?
That thing is blown up portrait style, framed nicely over his fireplace right now, right? Already?
Yeah, already. Yeah, I mean, hey, shout out to that photographer. I'm pretty sure he's about to be caked up.
Yes.
That's his image. It's already on T-shirts. Yeah. It's going to be... Oh, like they said, one of the most iconic photos of all time.
Get that Pulitzer, that guy.
There you go. My man was working too. He had a GoPro on his hat, and he had the camera. Ooh. So he was there for it. He was ready, man.
Yeah, I mean, his ability to like hear the gunshots and not have the normal human reaction, which is to duck and save yourself. And it's like, this is my moment.
He chased the action across the stage. If you watched him, he didn't even duck down. He was like, oh, I'm following this one. Yeah, they call that an iconic image. Can you fellas name some more iconic images?
I go back to 9/11.
Yeah, that's
and I think about
too.
the aftermath, and then the flag that was still there.
Okay.
Yeah, with the smoke and the dust and the stuff, and it just kind of. And then I remember the flag at World Series. Yeah, the actual flag from the tower they used at Yankee Stadium when Bush threw out the ball. They had the actual flag all, battered and beaten, but they managed to raise it in center field. That was a pretty iconic picture.
Definitely.
For, the country.
I mean, Iwo Jima.
Okay, Iwo Jima's on the list. That is definitely on the list.
They're probably not going to go with
raising
Jordan.
The flag at Iwo Jima, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, raising the flag.
Yeah, with all the Marines there holding it up.
Yeah.
Probably not Michael Jordan over Craig Elo. but sports-wise, he's way up there. Elo's like, oh, no.
Yeah, and then the jump afterwards is amazing.
Yeah.
Let's see. How about the Burning Monk? You guys recognize the Burning Monk?
That
process to Vietnam.
Yeah.
Tank Man?
Tank Man was Tiananmen Square?
Yes.
Was that what the guy kept moving?
Listen, I think you're right. It's definitely a square, and he's standing in front of the tank, and he has
Tiananmen
like
Tiananmen Square? Did I say it right? I probably said it wrong. Man. Tiananmen Square.
A Buzz up there on the moon?
Buzz is on the list.
Yeah.
Iconic images.
Maybe a mushroom cloud photo?
That is on the list. Nagasaki.
Yeah.
How about the Fallen Man, September 11th? You guys recognize that? Remember that image of just a guy that said, oh, this is probably a better option than sitting in here. I'm just going to go for it.
Was Martin Luther King's speech at the crowd?
It should be.
Was that one of them?
It should be, and I believe it is. It's an iconic image. Let's say it is. But the one pointing when they're on the balcony.
Well, that's when he was assassinated in Memphis.
Yep.
But I thought the one where he was speaking at the I Have a Dream speech.
Let's just say it is, man.
Okay.
It's definitely an iconic speech. Moon landing, we got that one. Hindenburg.
The Hindenburg flying, flying in.
Muhammad Ali and Sonny Liston.
Oh, is that when you're standing over him?
Yeah. So, yeah, man. We're in some strange days, folks. Strange days. And cheers to the celebs that we lost over the weekend.
Big list.
They definitely got overshadowed by this weekend's events, but RIP to Beverly Hills 90210 and charm star Shannon Doherty.
What happened there?
She had breast cancer.
Breast cancer. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. RIP to Richard Simmons, the great Richard Simmons. The clown prince of fitness, as they call him.
Jazzercise.
And his little shorts and his curly little hair. Him and Bob Ross had the curly joints.
They did.
Yeah, yeah, man. Shout out to him, man.
It's crazy where he went last 10, 15 years.
Yeah.
You know, because he was a huge part of pop culture. He was a riot, really. He was hilarious. My mom loved his calisthenics.
Yeah, I seen it too. My mom did too. That's how I was introduced to him.
Yeah.
And man, he was so funny. He would come on those late night shows and just light it up.
Yeah, he was.
They gave him grief all the time. Those
every time he came on there, bro.
Like him and David.
Make you healthy.
Him and David Letterman would go at it. It was actually pretty funny.
All he wanted to do was make you healthy. Get you off that couch, girl.
Yeah.
Because he used to talk to the women's. Get up off that couch now. Let's go. Ready, set, go, go.
He was on world tour. He comes to Portland, Oregon. My mom's there in the front row. She ends up on the front page of the newspaper, like
with her fist up.
Oh, that's cool. That's dope.
Yeah.
And RIP to the sex therapist and talk show host, Dr. Ruth.
Wow. She had a good run.
She had a great run. She was like 90,
She was still
98, something like that when she passed.
She was like the first ever sexpert, right? Like she laid the foundation. Yeah, she's sort of a pioneer. Yeah.
And she had a little accent, a little German accent and everything. She was small. She was like 4'7". she used to light those talk shows up too. Here's a clip of her right here on David Letterman. She made Letterman just walk off his show.
An older woman called. She's a widow. She does feel sexually aroused. And she has never used what is called in sexological language self-gratification, which means masturbation. She never used that before. But I told her to do that. And I understand... And I understand, I even said that I'm a little embarrassed to say that to you here, but I'm not embarrassed when I say it on the radio, so I should say it. I even suggested to her, and the people out there just reminded me of that, that if she does want to feel something inside her vagina, that it's perfectly all right to either use a cucumber or...
Say good night. Dave walked on off. He said good night.
Yeah, dude, she would get graphic.
Yeah, she would get graphic.
A cucumber.
Yeah, she was wild.
Just in case you don't know what self gratification means.
You could use a cucumber.
The versatility of the cucumber is just incredible.
Perhaps. She should have came out with her own little old brand of cucumbers. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, Dr. Ruth.
Fresh out of Dr. Ruth's garden.
Yeah.
Let's see here. Before we get on out of here, I got to pay this off. Where'd my music go, Shorty? There we go. G-Bag of the Day. We do it every weekday on the Fan at 2:30. If you see anything floating out there, don't be afraid to hit me up, shorty. At Lucky Lucius P on social media. Hit me up. It's a brand new week, too. Even though I got a whole bag full of good audio, I still want more. Lucky Lucius P on social media. Lucius Alexander on Facebook. Or you can follow us all if you find G-Bag Nation on Twitter. Our winner right here is Mr. Eric Chiafalo. How many days is this for my man? Two?
Two.
Two. He says, check them ankles when making long-term decisions.
I think the key is you always got to look. Like, you could just tell by the ankles. Big guy, smaller ankles, we're good here. It actually goes even with the ladies as well. Like, you're a bigger body, but then you get to down to the ankles.
Big body back.
You know, you can start projecting out. Just look at her ankles, and we'll tell you what she's going to look like in 15 years. That's just a fact of the matter. If you want to know how big this, if a big guy can move, just look at his ankles, man. Look at his ankles. I got a big guy, thin ankles. This is a guy that's probably got some athleticism. So he's got cankle type ankles, this is a guy who's probably heavy footed.
So what you're telling me is you look for the same traits in elite offensive linemen that you look in elite offensive linemen that you look for in women that you would like to get with.
When you're projecting out, not get with. This is the settle down type. I want to know what we're looking at in 15 years.
You know, they say look at the mom, too, with the women.
Look at the mom, for sure. But specifically, look at the mom's ankles.
That was a line that won it right there. Yeah,
you definitely want to look at the mom. Ooh, yeah. That is 100% true. Yeah. But I can't wait to check out all the Cowboys offensive linemen we get out there.
Yeah.
Oh, I bet Guyton's got incredible ankles.
Guyton, I think, does. My man Cooper Beebe, I need to have a good look there. Jack Martin, hopefully we can get him live in studio. I'm going to have him put his ankle on the table.
Yeah, we're going to be watchdogging these ankles out there at camp.
Shelly Duvall, I sure did miss Shelly Duvall.
Oh, no, really?
From Popeye fame.
Oh, no.
R.I.P. Shelly Duvall. Iconic photos, Marilyn Monroe dress over the street.
Yeah, hey. Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
The sailor, was that New York, kissing the stranger?
Yes, that's a good one.
Yeah. All right, we're living in a particular time here, people, so act accordingly. Lord willing, the creek don't rise, and I'm talking about the body of water. That's my time.
There he goes. L.A. Live with Lucius every night at 5:40 here in the nation. Round tripper, Will Chuck? Bases? What do you want to do?
Yeah, I'll mix in around the bases and some college football news. We'll talk MLB draft and a first for Nick Saban. Will Texas run the SEC? That's next in the nation. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
For the past 3 seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a 4th season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.